This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina's House Bill 2 has gotten nationwide attention since Governor Pat McCrory signed it into law last week. The law restricts municipalities from passing their own non-discrimination ordinances, and it does not include sexual orientation or gender identity in the statewide non-discrimination policy. It also specifically denies the right of cities to insist that contractors operate under policies that prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Each day this week, more and more business leaders from around the country have condemned the law. There's a federal lawsuit pending. Some customers have threatened to boycott events like the High Point Furniture Market. Meanwhile, Governor McCrory has stood by his decision to sign it. He says opponents are misinterpreting House Bill 2. He calls it a common-sense law that protects privacy in restrooms. Political junkie Ken Rudin is back to talk about this and more North Carolina politics. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank.
I'm not sure if this has made it all the way up to Washington, D.C.
Oh, no. This story is just amazing. And what it does is, I mean, there's so many angles and aspects of it. One, it just talks about basically change is happening in this country. It may be happening too fast for some people to accept it, but it's happening, and some people either are going along with it or they're fighting it tooth and nail. And also, it just shows more of a split we're seeing in the Republican Party with Trump and the outsiders versus the establishment, and that's exactly what's going on with HB 2 in North Carolina.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got headlines in the editorial section of the New York Times that read, "Transgender law makes North Carolina a pioneer in bigotry." This is not good for North Carolina, is it?
It's not. Well, it's good for if you're evangelical and you feel that family values are falling apart. I mean, they're basically calling this the Privacy in Bathrooms Act. And, of course, you know, obviously it talks about whether transgender people should be going into bathrooms. It depends on what the sex you had at birth.
Right.
But I mean, it's far more than that. We're talking about discrimination. It's talking about suing for discriminatory firings. It's talking about allowing municipalities to have non-discriminating policies regarding housing and things like that. So it's much more than just privacy in bathrooms, but it's made North Carolina, you know, it's just made them they're singled out as a state that is either intolerant or failing to, you know, pay attention to what's going on in the world. This happened to Indiana last year with their religious liberty bill, and Governor Mike Pence went through tremendous blowback from businesses and national criticism, and then he backtracked a lot. And it remains to be seen whether McCrory backtracks, because he also has an election he has to win.
Well, he runs statewide. The lawmakers are in their red map districts, and so they have much safer cover over this than the governor, who does have a statewide election. Interesting to me that he has taken the lead in defending this, given the kind of blowback it's had and the fact that the state of North Carolina tends to be a little more progressive than some of those gerrymandered districts are.
And given the fact of what Pat McCrory comes from, when he was first elected, he was a pro-business moderate, and he spent much of his term in office battling with the far more conservative wing of the Republican Party in the state legislature. So to him to basically be being opposed by big business here in North Carolina, and we're talking about American Airlines, we're talking about Duke University, we're talking about Dow Chemical, the NBA is talking about maybe taking away the next year's All-Star game from Charlotte because of this.
Yeah, Wells Fargo Bank, Bank of America, these are not liberal institutions.
No, exactly. And this is not what McCrory, this is not the kind of politics McCrory comes from. He must be calculating that this evangelical support will shore him up in a very tough battle he has against Roy Cooper in November.
Well, you know, there's this other question. A lot of critics are pointing to the kind of Orwellian rhetoric around this. I mean, here's a bill that restricts the right to stop discrimination, and they're saying it doesn't do that, and it takes away the right to sue in state court over a workplace discrimination. They say it won't do that. And even the process, the fact that the city of Charlotte spent about a year deliberating over this with multiple hearings over the course of a year before its duly elected city council voted in favor of the ordinance. And then in less than 24 hours, the state of North Carolina overturns it. But here's what bothers
30 minutes of debate.
Well, and here's what bothers a lot of people. So we talked about what happened in Charlotte and then what happens here. Dan Bishop of Mecklenburg supported the HB 2. And here's how he characterizes how Charlotte passed its ordinance.
Let's just go to a city council where you can find a handful of radicals under the influence of an activist group that's got a lot of money from out of state, and get six of those people to enact something that goes to the heart of some of statewide interest, and then impose that not only on your own citizens, but on everyone that might be operating a business across the state. That is the picture of the subversion of the rule of law.
Actually, it's the picture of democracy. It's kind of how things work, right? I mean,
I hate to be editorializing this because I'm trying to analyze what's going on here, and I understand the opposition to it, but that's such a crazy argument, especially right. Given the way that the legislature passed HB2, in the fact that they, as you say, within the time they wrote it and passed it was 12 hours total, right? And the governor signing it within 12 hours, 30 minutes of debate, and we're talking about the undemocratic rule in Charlotte and
right, after a year.
What happened in Raleigh, right?
But that's it. And I think part of it is this sense that there is some Orwellian doublespeak going on here, and there's a deep frustration, at least expressed on the part of the opponents to HB2. And this is what you're hearing. Governor Pat McCrory fights back. He said, "You don't understand what this law is about. I've got an 18-point fact sheet here, and I want the press to understand what it is." And then he's questioned about whether or not this is going to have an effect and limit the effect of the rights of cities to enforce their anti-discrimination statutes. And here's what the governor says.
"I don't know who's talking to you. We'll get back with you on that. You're blindsiding me with a question that I haven't gotten. If one of you, we'll get."
"I mean, I'm responding to your office's statement that this would not take away protection." I've been
traveling all day, so you're telling me something I'm not aware of, and I don't know if that's true or not."
I think when you present the fact sheet, you probably should. But here's the question. Does this is March, or this is April, right? April 1st. We've got a long time between now. It's a lifetime between now and November. Does this issue have traction in the campaign?
"Well, I think it does. And let's see what happens. If the pressure, if the business pressure, if the national ridicule aimed and directed at North Carolina continues, if McCrory does back down or pushes through some kind of revisions in the law, then what do the evangelical community, what does the evangelical community say about this? You know, there was a similar, not a really similar law, but there was this anti-gay law that was passed in Georgia, and the conservative Republican governor there, Nathan Deal, vetoed it, and they called him, you know, a traitor. But the thing is, Nathan Deal is not up for re-election, and he probably had to understood what was going on. This bill was rushed through. McCrory clearly wasn't prepared for these kind of questions at the press conference, and he may be basing his re-election on a very flawed philosophy here and way of, you know, getting reelected."
Well, two one news agency and PolitiFact, so WRAL News and PolitiFact, both fact checked. Both have found the facts in the governor's fact sheet wanting. PolitiFact says McCrory said that with the passage of HB2, we have not taken away the rights that have currently existed in any city in North Carolina. Unquote. PolitiFact, that is not true. It took away the rights of cities to put certain anti-discrimination requirements on private contractors. So, again, two outside groups have taken a look and done the fact-checking. Listen, in other news, here in North Carolina, a rift is open between the chair of the North Carolina Republican Party, Hassan Harnett, and other party leaders. Is this another establishment versus outsider conflict, or what's going on here?
"Well, it is. I mean, Harnett was elected state chair, I guess, was it last year? I think he was. And it was against the wishes of McCrory and Senator Burr and Senator Tillis. Harnett was I don't know if he was a Trump supporter, but he certainly was an outsider. The establishment didn't like him. Now they want him out because allegedly he's misusing money or he's not raising money. But a split in North Carolina. North Carolina was the only swing state to go Republican for Mitt Romney in 2012, and only by 2 points. When you have this split going on, in addition to the battle between business and the evangelicals over HB2, the party seems to be imploding at a time when unity is so desperately important for such an important state in November.
Also, there's been a surge in registration in young voters in Wake County. That's an interesting trend. Tell us more about that.
It is interesting, and that is interesting. A lot of high school students, of course, you know, if they're going to be 18 by Election Day, they're registering to vote now. And it's interesting that the focus is on North Carolina because North Carolina seems to be ground zero for legislation that has been restricting in many ways the right to vote, the ability to vote, putting roadblocks in the way, and that the fact that so many more high school students are getting active and excited and looking forward to voting, I mean, that says something about what's going on in the state.
Well, you know, getting back to the split between the extreme right in North Carolina and mainstream Republican voters and then swing voters in this state, what about the dynamics of the presidential race and the fact that there's a potential, and just in terms of turnout, that a fair number of Republicans might just sit it out, whoever gets the nomination?
Well, that's true. I mean, we keep hearing that there are a lot of Republicans who are just very so upset about Donald Trump and the things he's talking about. And most of the things he's saying, he doesn't say as April Fool's joke. He really believes some of the things he says until he changes his mind, like he did with punishment for women on abortion. But there are so many Republicans who say that if Donald Trump is their the nominee, they may sit home in November. But take a look at all the new voters that Donald Trump has brought to the forefront, has brought voting for him in the primaries. If he goes into the Cleveland Convention with clearly the most delegates, but somehow he's denied the nomination for whatever reason, what happens to those Trump supporters? Do they sit home? So either way, the Republican Party looks like it's in big trouble, and I can't see how they get unified, not only by the time of the convention, but by November.
All right, Ken Rudin, always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, author Augustine Burroughs' new book explores the complexities of love through his own relationships. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.